Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Lib Starling's Rain City Hunters paranormal romance novel series. Find out more at runningrabbitbooks.com. That's running rabbit, like the animal, not rabid, like,
Okay.
Rabbitbooks.com. Check it out.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And welcome to Ouija Awareness Month, everyone.
We are back with that.
We are officially in Ouija Awareness Month now.
Yes.
At Real Ghost Stories Online, Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you. A family pulls together today in our episode during financial troubles, but can they survive the ghost in the locked room? Parents dread the sound of children running around the house in the middle of the night, but was it their children that one couple heard? A listener describes a scream they heard just before a paranormal encounter, and a woman's intuition and superstition may have saved her life during a car accident. Those stories, your calls, and more today on our first episode of October 2015 of Real Ghost Stories Online.
So our birthday is in 10 days.
Our birthday?
Our show birthday.
Oh, really?
Our second anniversary is in 10 days.
We had a cake. You got us a cake last year.
I did. It had so much fondant on it that it was yuck.
It was hard to eat.
It was hard to eat.
But like once you take the fondant off, it's good.
Yeah.
It's just the fondant. The fondant's a very, very tricky thing. It's like a little girl demon ghost. It's like, oh, come help me. I just need someone to talk to me. And then it ends up eating your cat. You know?
Meaning that fondant looks all nice and sweet and then it tastes like crap.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's my analogy.
Nice analogy.
Thank you for filling in the rest of it because I was going to miss that part. But yeah, that's what fondant is.
Okay.
It's a demon frosting,
yes,
if you will. Well, that's cool. I forget when our anniversary date is.
I know.
But
I know.
But that's exciting. Great. So 2 years of doing Real Ghost Stories Online.
On the 10th.
On the 10th. All right. Well, that's exciting. Of course, if you're new to the show, we obviously have been doing it for a little while. And this is a show that if you're just finding us because it's the beginning of October and you're going, I want to listen to something spooky. We do this show year round every single week. So you can always find our show no matter what time of the year it is. It's like Halloween always here. And we welcome you if you're just joining us. The way we keep our show alive is with our listeners and our EPP program. We have bonus episodes there. You can check that out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And you'll find out all the good stuff that this show offers in terms of freaking the living shit out of you. So, speaking of which,
everybody needs a little of that.
I had the living shit freaked out of me earlier, right before you got in here. I was looking up in the studio and our fan up there, there's a casing to the top of the rod and it was down.
Okay.
And when it looks like that, it kind of looks like the fan may be ready to fall off the ceiling.
Okay.
I couldn't tell if it was just hanging there by wires or if just that little thing fell down.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, just that little thing fell down. But I had to get the ginormous ladder up because it's a very tall ceiling. And I went up there and I just screwed it back on. But
there you go.
I had a little heart attack moment for a second where I was on a call and I looked up. I'm like, oh, my God, hang on. I have to look at my fan. I think it might fall and do something bad to this room. So anyhow.
Was your client understanding?
They were.
Okay.
They were understanding. But it was just kind of an odd thing to say. And then I'm after that, I'm like, I wonder what they think my office is like. Do I like is a fan falling from a ceiling? Do you like working behind the beauty salon like the guy on
like Saul?
Like, yeah, Better Call Saul or something. I'm like, no, it's really not. It's a lot nicer than that. But anyway, kicking off the show today, we got some great stories for you. 855-853-4802. Of course, the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go over to Maria. Maria writes in, do you believe in ghosts, sometimes called an apparition? A spirit or image of someone who has died and reappears but not always seen by everyone? Or perhaps you just enjoy hearing stories about the afterlife, especially the kind that leave you thinking it was fact or fiction. What I'm about to tell you isn't fiction at all. It's all facts. I know this because I experienced it when I was 7 years of age. My family didn't have much money when I was growing up. Our mother was a single parent of 10 children, although a couple of my older siblings had moved out on their own. There were still 6 of us left for her to raise all alone. She often struggled to pay the bills. When she could no longer afford to pay the rent where we were living, she packed up everything we owned. We moved in with my oldest sister, Anne, her husband, Joe, and their children. It was an old house with lots of windows and a huge backyard, which was perfect for all of us kids to run around and play in. The exterior of the house was pink and white with some of the color peeling away, but it had become our home and we were happy to be there. My sister and her husband had rented the house from a friend of theirs for a price that fit their budget. When they had first moved into the house, they had noticed one of the bedrooms upstairs had a lock on its door. Thinking of the safety of their small children, they decided to remove the entire door. There wasn't anything out of the ordinary inside the room. It was completely empty, with the exception of a small piece of carpet. Once my family joined them in the room, the bedroom would become the very place where my brothers would be sleeping. It was considered the back bedroom. Our mom and us girls shared the bedroom, which was right before you would enter it, the back bedroom. It was sometimes a bit crowded, but we made it work. No one ever questioned why the room had a lock on the door, even though the property was vacant. Little did we know, we were about to become fully aware of the terrifying reason why it should have been left undisturbed. Everyone got along well with our new living arrangements. We helped out with the younger kids, was anxiously waiting for my sister to give birth to her last child. The house had 2 levels, therefore my mom tried her best to keep us in our living area as much as possible when it was television time. I liked the house, however, I would often get such an eerie feeling as though something wasn't quite right. Now, the kind of feeling you sometimes experience when you thought you'd heard someone whisper your name, but you're home alone, or maybe you're almost positive that you just saw someone or something run past you, or see a shadow coming down your stairs and you're saying to yourself, "This isn't real." You can hear your heart starting to pound almost out of your chest, and in an instant, you realize you're just letting your imagination get the best of you. Well, unfortunately, it wasn't my imagination. I would be the first one to return home from my school. My daily routine would be to come home, change out my school clothes, get a snack, do homework, and go upstairs and watch television or play with my dolls. I pretend to serve them tea and cookies while sitting on the floor. However, this particular day would be unlike the others. As I sat on the floor playing with my dolls, I heard someone calling me by my first name, Gwen. They were saying, feeling a little bit puzzled because I thought all my brothers were either at work or at school, I decided to ignore it, thinking it was all in my mind. So I continued on with playtime, but I heard it again. This time it'd be louder, a little dragged out, and it sounded sad. "Gwen," the voice said. It was clearly a man's voice, not a voice which I could recognize, so I knew it was a stranger. But what is a stranger doing upstairs in our house? I didn't know how to react, therefore I stood up and slowly turned around. At that very moment, I became speechless. What I saw was a man whom I had never seen before in my young life walking towards me in a stiff, jerky motion. His skin was ashy in color. His eyes were black as coal without any white showing. I opened my mouth to scream, but no sound came out. All of a sudden, I tasted something very salty. The next thing I can remember happening is hearing my mother's voice saying, "Gwen, what's wrong? Why are you screaming and why is your nose bleeding?" When she was able to calm me down, my mom asked me to tell her exactly what had gotten me so upset. I took in a deep breath and started to explain what I had just seen in my brother's bedroom. First, I wasn't sure if she even believed what I was saying because she had this look of confusion on her face. After a few minutes of silence, she asked me again to tell her what I had seen. "You saw what?" I repeated my story to her. "I just saw a strange man in the boy's bedroom." At this point, she could see I was genuinely frightened and upset. My mom then took me by the hand and we both went downstairs to join my sister and her younger children in another part of the house. We shared my encounter with the rest of the family that evening. However, they weren't quite ready to believe that there may be someone else other than our family living in our house. After what had happened that day, I no longer wanted to play upstairs alone after school. I started having nightmares and my nosebleeds had become more frequent. I was no longer happy in our house like I used to be. Everything about it would creep me out. The doors would open all by themselves and the floors would creak, although there would be no one walking on them at a time. Oh, yeah, when the wind would blow through the cracks of the windows and doors, instead of the usual whistling sound that the wind makes, it'd make a slow, achy, moaning sound as if someone were in an eternal state of pain. One day, my brother abruptly called me upstairs to show me something he had found in the bathroom. When I looked into the toilet before he flushed it, it was a spider floating around inside, which to this day I'm pretty sure it was a tarantula. I ran out of there as fast as my feet could go and never looked back. My first thought was, did that man in the black, in the back bedroom, put the spider in the toilet to scare us? No matter how it got there, I knew I wasn't ever going to use that bathroom again. My happiness was fading away more and more with each passing day. I no longer wanted to be left alone. I had to have someone with me at all times. I'm sure it was a bit annoying to my family having to escort me around the house. Perhaps they would have been a bit more understanding if they too would have seen that man. I guess it really wasn't up to me to make this decision. It was a hot summer night and we were having a very intense thunderstorm. The flashes of lightning would light up our bedroom. The roar of the thunder made the entire house shake. You could hear tree branches scratching on the window pane. Ignoring the heat, I decided to pull the blanket over my head in hopes of falling asleep faster. All of a sudden, I was awakened by a loud crack of thunder. As I sat up, I noticed the room was lit up from the lightning. As my eyes were coming into focus, I wasn't quite prepared for what I would see standing in the doorway of my brother's bedroom. There he stood once again, the strange man whom I'd seen that day after school. Not only was he calling my name again, he was also pointing at me. I didn't know what he wanted, and to be honest, I really didn't care. I was worried for my brothers, who were actually in the same room with him, and for us girls. I turned and shook our mom as hard as I could until she woke up. She raised up to see what was going on, and she simultaneously turned on her bedroom light. Once the lights came on, he was no longer there. I'm not sure if my mom saw him standing there, however. In an instant, she jumped out of bed, went into my brother's bedroom, woke them up, and had them sleep on blankets in our room for the rest of the night. I don't remember much more about that particular night. It was decided that the bedroom door would be replaced and no one was allowed to go inside. My family no longer felt safe living in this house, which we all shared. My sister Anne and her husband found another place to live, and we did as well. A few years after we had moved out, the house had gotten demolished and a new home now sits on its place. As an adult, I learned the identity of the stranger in the back bedroom. Apparently, he was a relative of the people who rented the house to my sister. For reasons unknown to me, he had committed suicide in that very room, which had been locked when my sister and her family had first moved into the home. My brother Jimmy told us that sometimes, while he would be outside, he would see the same man looking out of the upstairs window. My sister won't even talk about what she had seen while living in the home. The memories haunt her to this very day. I often wonder what happened to that man since his home has been torn down. Has his spirit finally been set free? Or is he now trapped in a new room, still waiting for someone to help release him from his pain? Whatever the answer may be, I'll never forget my experience at the house on Joppa Farm Road.
I guess one of the things we can take away from this story is when you're renting a house and there's a door that's locked, to leave it locked. Because this is about the fifth story we've had where somebody unlocked a room in a rental that they were not supposed to unlock.
And did they say not to open that door? Was that like one of the things, like don't go in this room, or?
I don't know.
I don't know in this case if it was, but there was others where it was like, okay, you can do whatever you want in the house, but don't go in that room. Thank you and enjoy your stay.
Yeah.
But then inevitably everybody's like, oh, let's go check out the room.
Right. Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong then?
Right. Well, but obviously with as many people that all of a sudden moved in with her sister.
Sure.
You know, they probably needed that space.
Mm-hmm.
But that's very interesting that she was able to figure out who it was.
Yeah.
I wonder if she ever got to see a picture.
Put a face to the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that creepy, creepy story with us. It was a good one for the beginning of October.
I thought so.
I like that one. That was very good. Hey, don't miss Lib Starling's Rain City Hunters paranormal romance novel series. Yes, ghosts and romance. This is a natural good combination.
It could be a good thing.
I mean,
yes.
Just this thinking back to, like, you know, when I was, you know, in my younger years, you know, like teenage years, of course you want to take the date to a horror movie.
Yeah.
It leads to romance. Well, at least you hope it does. Usually it didn't, but you know.
How well did that work out for you, Tony?
I didn't really date a whole lot in high school, to be completely honest. But it is a natural combination there. Unlike a lot of paranormal romance novels, which feature vampires, werewolves, etc., Lib Starling's Rain City Hunters series follows the adventures of a team of paranormal investigators as they try to solve ghostly cases for their clients and navigate the mysteries of love. Stories and ghost adventures based on real accounts of hauntings. Experiences just like the ones you hear right here on Ghost Stories, Real Ghost Stories Online. Characters in the books are relatable. They use current investigation methods and technologies, making these real-world experiences come to life in this haunting series of novellas. Which is interesting because that's kind of cool. If you're really into ghost hunting and you know the equipment, uh-huh. I'm sure there'd be nothing more annoying than if you're reading a book and it's like, nobody uses things like that. These guys are really up on that.
Yeah.
So it can be very, very relatable. You can read Rain City Hunters books in any order, but Real Ghost Stories Online listeners are invited to check out A Sense of Shadows, the ebook edition, for just 99 cents during the month of October. You can get all of Lib Starling's books in paperbacks or ebooks at runningrabbitbooks.com. That's runningrabbitbooks.com. Rabbit, like hop, hop, rabbit. books.com or look for a Rain City Hunter series on your favorite book buying website. There you go.
Very cool.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Tony writes in, years ago when our children were very young, my wife and I had a weird experience that to this day we have no explanation for. It was probably past midnight and our three children were tucked in their beds and my wife and I were in an adjacent master bedroom, all of us sound asleep. Out of the blue, I was awakened by the sound of small feet pattering down a hallway. As a parent, this is the sound you dread, the sound of an ill child heading to the bathroom, and you are praying that they get there before it's too late. I shook off my sleep-induced haze and wandered into the hall to assist my child in whatever had caused them to be wandering around at this late hour. To my shock, no one was in the hallway or in the bathroom. I thought that one of the kids had went downstairs for some reason, so I checked their bedrooms to see who had gotten up. Each child was in their bed, tucked in as we had left them and sound asleep. I was a little panicked. Who did I hear running down the hall? I got a baseball bat and went from room to room checking locks and clearing rooms to make sure no one had broken into our home. I found no one and no sign of anyone breaking into our home. I stumbled up to bed and wrote this episode off as I had dreamed it or imagined the sounds. The next morning, I had almost forgotten the incident, writing it off as an overactive imagination when my wife asked me which child had gotten up in the middle of the night. I stopped in my tracks. What did you say? Yes, she said. Who was up running around last night? I told her I'd heard the same thing and recounted to her all the events afterward. We were both stunned. Who or what did we hear that night? A haunting? We are the original owners of the house, so that seems like a stretch. We'd never forgotten that night and refrained from telling our children until they were much older for fear of freaking them out. Any thoughts or ideas would be appreciated. Thanks so much for reading this, and I really enjoy your podcast. Have a great day.
Maybe it was just a spirit passing through.
Could be.
I think it's so funny with paranormal and ghost stories. There's two things that confirm it. Either you both heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Or only one of you heard or saw something.
Mm-hmm.
And either one can really confirm something was there. Because, like, if there's somebody standing right next to you and you're like, you don't see that person, you know it's a ghost.
Sure.
But then, like, in this case where he heard it at night and then she confirmed she heard it, then you know it is too.
And you know you're not crazy then.
Yes.
It all works out well. John writes in, last Christmas Day, 2014, my whole family was sitting in the living room of my grandmother's house. She's still alive and well at 93, living in the same house that her and my grandfather lived in for over 50 years. It's filled with love. My grandfather died in 1996. He owned a business most of his life and had a notary seal embosser that was shiny and heavy. My mother decided to give it to her brother for Christmas as a sentimental gift. While we were in the living room, where we always spent Christmas morning in for at least 35 years, my mother handed him the gift. He unwrapped it and said, oh, this is Dad's old notary seal embosser. And just then, a music box on the mantle that my grandfather gave to my grandmother as an anniversary gift on one of their trips to New Orleans long ago began to play, when the Saints go marching in for a few seconds. The whole room felt silent and still as we all realized the reality of what potentially just occurred. And my mother began sobbing, saying, "He's here with us." Happy tears, of course. My grandmother sat very still and just said, smiling, "He's always with us. I speak to him every day." Mind you, the music box was closed and likely not wound up. It's too much of a coincidence for objects closely associated with his life in a room that was full of family that immediate moment when his son spoke about his notary seal not to call it a paranormal experience. I remember that moment and how the room felt, just like it had more presence in it than those that were actually there. I hope we call him Popop, will visit us again in that happy, meaningful way like he did last Christmas. Thanks for reading this. It's not that exciting, but it always brings warmth to my soul.
I think it is too much of a coincidence that that happened at the same moment.
Yeah, I certainly think that there's something going on there, and I think that Grandma probably does talk to him more than she shares.
Yeah.
Like, there's probably much more paranormal activity, but she's not necessarily going to open up. Hey!
Well, no, because if your grandma's saying that, people, mm-hmm. you know, make assumptions if your rest yeah. of your family isn't open to that.
Exactly. Then it's like, oh, well, it's time. We're going to go for a little car ride, okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, Grandma? And, yeah, get the suitcase. Okay. Just hop. Where are you taking? No, get the suitcase. It wouldn't work out well. So I don't blame her for not sharing more.
No.
But very interesting story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. JCB writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm a big fan of the show and think it's great for people to have a where they can share their experiences without being accused of being crazy or on drugs. I try to listen to at least one episode before I go to bed every night. I've had a few situations that many would consider paranormal, but I do my best to find a logical explanation before jumping to conclusions. I do have a handful of stories that I myself and other friends who consider themselves full-blown skeptics cannot explain. The first one I want to share includes what I can only describe as a banshee, or what we in the Hispanic community refer to as a La Llorona, which is Spanish for crying woman. I'll spare you the folklore because I know Jenny will look it up. This takes place in a small town in South New Mexico, which has a river running along the main road that crosses a small town. The block that has the one park in the town has a big opening where you can see into this main road and see the cars pass by. When I was 16, back in the late 90s, I and a friend were leaving a friend's house around midnight. We were walking and crossed the park to pass by another friend's house. As we were about to leave the park area, I heard what sounded like a woman crying or screaming in a very sad tone. At first, I didn't mind it too much, but it began to get louder, and it was constant. When it was too loud to ignore, I looked at my friend who said, "That can't be what I think it is." I can only imagine that my face was as white as his. But realizing that the sound appeared to be coming up that main road, we took off running towards the opening in the park to get a glimpse at the road and see if we could see what the noise was. The scream seemed to peek by the opening in the park when we were roughly 60 yards away from the road. The noise passed by really fast and there were no lights on to indicate that it was a car. There's also no engine noise or that vroom noise that cars make as they cut through air fast enough. No police or ambulance sirens either. We stopped running as the scream blasted through what should have been right in front of us and kept moving forward, fainting in the distance. As we lost the noise, my friend and I started talking about it, eliminating that it could have been a car or a person due to the lack of noises a vehicle makes and a consistent screaming or crying noise. We started walking away, and in the distance, we heard the noise coming back, this time from the opposite direction, as if it had turned around and rushed back in the direction it came from originally. We were close enough to get even closer this time. We ran maybe 30 yards from the road, this time when the screaming and crying once again blasted through what should have been right in front of us again, without leaving any trail of it being an emergency siren or vehicle. We waited in silence to see if it would come back, and sure enough, it did come back around a third time. This time it was easier to see where it was coming from, and it seemed to be running closer to the river than the road. We waited for a fourth run, but it never came, and we eventually just left talking to each other in disbelief that we had just encountered a ghost that most Hispanic communities talk about, but is easily dismissed as an old scary story to get kids to go to bed early. That's my story. I hope it didn't drag on too long. I'd love to hear the story online, and if anyone has a skeptic's point of view or theory that can explain this incident, I would be welcome to comments too. I hope to share another story soon, this one involving a cemetery around Halloween time, and my scientist skeptic brother being speechless after the incident.
I want to hear that one too.
Yeah, so do I.
So, yeah, write that one in way before Halloween.
It's always interesting when you hear stories like that where it's a lot of times just dismissed as, you know, it's folklore, it's, you know, part of this, part of that, but then it actually happens.
They have to have roots of some sort of tie back to something that happened to somebody at some point.
Exactly.
But I would not have stuck around waiting for that fourth time for it to go by.
Just in case, just to get some more confirmation.
I would have, oh man, I would have been out of there after the first time.
I probably would have too.
Yeah.
But I'm for the sake of the show, I would have totally stayed.
You would have.
I would never have left.
Are you going to start saying dude and bro?
Dude, bro. And then start taunting it.
Okay.
Because that works out well.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is the phone number. Kara writes in, I was told this story by my mom, and she heard it from my dad, my grandfather. It's about his parents and possibly supernatural omen. My grandfather's mother was very superstitious. She was always extra sensitive to messages like black cats crossing your path, black dogs, and keen to avoid anything that would give you bad luck. One day, she noticed one of her signs. It was the middle of summer in North Carolina in the 50s. My grandfather was 18 and living with them, with his wife and firstborn child. We're not sure which sign his mother saw, but it made her do something strange. She and her husband were about to run errands, the husband driving. In the middle of a hot summer day, she decided to wear a heavy winter coat. It was for no other reason than she felt she had to. Something told her to. As fate would have it, the two were in a horrific car accident. Her husband died shortly after going to the hospital. Her injuries were severe, but she would have died instantly if not for the winter coat. She did end up dying a few weeks later due to the injuries. We're not sure why she felt the need to wear the coat, but we think something had warned her. I wonder, are superstitions another form of ghostly awareness?
I think maybe that's where they have their roots back to.
Sure.
You know, kind of like folklore, like we just talked about. Mm-hmm. I think there's something there. I don't know how much it's superstition or intuition in this case.
Sure.
She just had that feeling that something bad was going to happen, and a lot of people get that right before something happens.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they act on it, and sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And in this case, they acted. Extended life a little bit.
Yeah.
But maybe it should have been one of those things where it was acted on where to the effect of, let's not go for that car ride right now.
Yes, but you don't, you know, you don't know.
You don't know why or
which item, or not item, but which incident's going to be the one that you're having that bad feeling about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Jessica in New York. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Jessica. I'm from Long Island, New York. And I'm going to go and tell you a little bit of my story. We have a few haunted places here. We have two psychiatric hospitals that aren't being used anymore and that are very haunted. Pilgrim State, for example, and King's Park. But there's a house over here, and it's called Mary's Grave, but it's an actual house, and it's about this woman back in, the 1800s, and she pretty much, murdered her whole family, and she hung herself, outside of her house on a tree. So me and my sister, one night, we decided to go for a drive, and we went over there, and we got out of the car, and we went up the driveway, and we were going to go touch the house, because apparently if you touch it, things happen. So we went and proceeded to touch it, and all of a sudden my sister, she felt somebody grabbing her shirt, pulling her, away from the house. So we didn't think anything of it. We got in the car, and we went to go, drive away, and all of a sudden we just saw, a figure in the middle of the road, and, we swerved out of the way. And when we turned around, there was nobody there. So we went back the next night, and the same thing happened. So what we did was we just put the headlights on, and we just put the car in neutral, and we just looked. And just an apparition literally just crossed over the car, twice, and she, like, went around the car a couple times, and it was, like, the scariest thing ever. Like, I'm literally getting chills just telling you guys about it right now. It was pretty cool. And then the next night, my grandfather passed away, and I heard, like, I read online that if you set, like, candles around, like, you know, it'll contact any spirits or whatever. So I did, and all the candles blew out, and then the next day, like, my grandfather's picture was in a frame. It was on the ground next to this, like, frog statue I have that was his in my room, and I thought that was pretty cool. I just want to share it with you guys. I just want to tell you guys I love, 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 love the show. It really passes the time when I'm at work, and I just love both of you, and I'm so happy that you guys created this. All right, bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us.
Yeah. I don't know how many stories we're going to have where people go to a haunted place and they learn they shouldn't have gone there. But I know that's what keeps our show going.
Sure.
But it's kind of like, bad idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing with the candles and all that, with what she was talking about, where you do this maybe. And yeah, sometimes you're going to get grandpa. And sometimes you're going to get something else going, ooh, she's going to think I'm grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary part. One of those things I don't really advise doing, but I understand why.
Yeah.
You know, why someone would be drawn to want to do that or try to do that. It's just you're kind of playing ghost roulette.
Yeah, you are.
So, you know, interesting stuff and not so good stuff can happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Sarah in Canada.
Hi, Brewskies. This is Sarah calling again from the Ottawa Valley, Ontario, Canada. I'm new to the show, so I apologize. That's why I'm flooding your mailbox with a couple of my stories. So I was listening and kind of was reminded of a local urban legend in the Ottawa Valley. I hadn't heard many urban legend stories on your show, but I thought maybe I'd share it if you were interested. It's kind of an interesting story, plus people of second-hand accounts of this area. So I don't know, maybe in the future you'll have a little show or something on urban legends, and maybe this will make the cut. Anyways, so the legend of Buck Hill, I guess, is what people sort of call it. It's Buck Hill. It's a hill off of the end of Buck Hill Road, and it's very notorious in the area for being a haunted place. And there's a couple different versions of the story that I've heard, but they all kind of follow the same trail, so I'll try to explain that as best as I can. Basically, back in the day, when the area was sort of developing, I guess it was you know, part of the logging community, there was a man who lived in house, basically a cabin in the woods, from what I understand, with his wife and his daughter. I'm not sure if there were any other children. And the legend goes that the first version I heard is that his daughter had died. And at the time, tradition was is that you lay the body out and you sit with the body until at which point you bury the body. I guess this man, who was very distraught, obviously, over losing his daughter, had was sitting up with her body and had fallen asleep and woke up and her body was missing. And then another version of the story I heard was that she was sick and one day she went missing, or she was alive and then one day went missing. But point is that at some point her body, dead or alive, had gone missing. And one thing that is consistent is that it was always in the dead of winter. So he grabbed a lantern and went out into the woods looking for his daughter or the perpetrator, or looking to find what happened. And he was looking, and eventually he passed. Now, again, that's another bone or a contentious issue, is whether he passed that, you know, evening looking for her, or if he had continued on looking for, you know, years and years to come, and then eventually passed of natural causes, but that's the basis of the story. So when you pull up into Buck Hill, urban legend has it that you have to get out of your car and scream daddy 3 times over. And again, part of the legend is that it has to be a virgin girl that screams daddy, but a secondhand account would have it that that's not necessary. It can be anybody scream that. And then you're supposed to flick your car lights 3 times. And if you do this, you will start to see a light sort of start to float through the woods and start to approach your car. So lots of people have done this, and a lot of people have reported things happening. So I've heard a couple different things. One friend of mine claims that, one thing that is very consistent is that a lot of people say that eventually their vehicle battery will start to act up. So either they'll have the car on and the lights will sort of flicker and then all of a sudden the battery will die, or they won't be able to start their cars, or they'll start driving away and then their car battery will die and their car will shut down. So one friend of mine, she claimed that this had happened, that their car sort of died, the radio died, and all the electronics in the car died. And they eventually saw a shadow figure of a man walk up to their car and stand right next to the passenger side window staring in. But from what I've heard, it's really only ever been a shadow figure. And then after some time will pass, the car will start again and you can make your escape. I did have another friend who was driving up there once, and he is a little sensitive to the paranormal. And while he was driving up there, they hit Buck Hill Road and started driving up the road to the hill. And he almost immediately from hitting the road started to feel really, really sick to his stomach. He claimed it was like a paranormal kind of sick. He says that he can kind of tell the difference from, you know, just being naturally sick and paranormal type of sickness. And so they got so far and he just couldn't handle it anymore, so they stopped the car and turned around and started heading home. And then as soon as they left the hill area, he started feeling better again. So he was just like, okay, well, let's, you know, go back and try again. And so they turned around and started heading up the hill again, and he started feeling sick almost immediately upon approaching the hill. So they never actually made it up there, because I guess he just physically couldn't. And I did actually watch on YouTube, because this story is kind of a fascination of mine, there was a couple of guys from the city, Ottawa, had heard about the legend and they wanted to check it out, so they sort of recorded their trip up to Buck Hill. And they drove up and they did the traditional, you know, scream daddy and flick the lights. And you can very clearly see in the video footage, now I don't know these people, so I don't know if it's, you know, tampered with or not, but you can see in the video a light off in the distance start to light up and start to approach their truck. And then they sort of freak out and eventually leave. And what's also kind of interesting, after an event will happen, and even if something doesn't happen, another commonly reported thing that happens is some sort of almost destruction on the way from exiting the hill, almost kind of like the spirit of this man is maybe angry or something. I've seen pictures of people who all of a sudden, you know, they'll be driving back and there'll be a huge tree had collapsed across the road, or they'll get a branch caught in the tires of their car truck that they literally have to stop because it's so big and it gets caught, and you know, it's going to affect the driving of the car, it's going to damage the car. And same thing as I had mentioned before, you know, the car will maybe stop running and they'll have some problems. So I always thought that was kind of interesting and kind of sad at the same time, because, you know, it's a tragic story. Somebody loses, daughter, and then people for decades and centuries later continue to sort of taunt the spirit. And but he seems to sort of take his revenge on whoever does that. So I've been up there before. I've never personally had anything happen, but as I said, I've heard a lot of secondhand accounts, and they all sort of follow the same path. So thought that you guys would maybe find that interesting, and thanks for putting on the podcast. It's great. Have a good night.
Thank you, Sarah, for calling in and sharing that story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Sarah was just saying how it's bizarre and kind of, you know, sick in a way, where you have like a tragic situation,
mm-hmm.
and then years and years later, it's like, you know, people kind of use it for fun and, you know, a pastime,
yeah,
if you will. And how weird. I completely agree. I mean, I feel the same way about, you know where I'm going to go with this? The bounce house Titanic.
Yes.
At like fairs where it's like, ooh, or the big slide, inflatable uh-huh. slide that's a Titanic. I was like, what the hell?
That's messed up.
It's like there's certain things that no matter how long ago they happened, probably should never be made into a children's attraction.
No, no.
Because there's so many things that you can look at and go, 100 years from now, is this going to be like a blow up at the county fair? I mean, and
yeah.
It's like, God, I hope not. I mean, it's just, I mean, you can insert tragedy here, but it makes you wonder,
mm-hmm,
you
it
know,
does.
It just that when that disconnect gets in, it's just like, what the hell? Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Let's go to Claudia in California.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Claudia calling again from the Central Valley in California. I was just scared shitless right now. I was listening to your last episode, where Noel, the truck driver from California, was talking about the shadow person or whatever it was that he saw. What weirded me out was that I am also a truck driver, and at that exact moment when his story started to play, I was actually exiting on Jensen Street in Fresno, where he was saying that he saw this entity. And I'm just driving, and then I hear that, and I'm like, no way. And he starts to describe what he saw, and I paused it, and I paused my podcast, and I said, nope, don't want to know. I don't want to see it tonight. The weird thing is, too, that I was actually delivering to a large food company, very well-known food company, right off of Jensen. And a couple of weeks ago, when I was there, I was doing my delivery. I had already talked to the attendant there. Once they get my paperwork, they pretty much just leave and never come back out. So that had already happened, and I drive a tanker truck, so I was on top of the tanker sealing everything up so I could see around me pretty clearly, and out of the corner of my eye, I see what I thought was the attendant come back out, and the reason I figured it was the attendant was because they wear hard hats, and out of my peripheral vision, I could pretty clearly see the hard hat and a figure, and then I kind of see it wave and say, hey, and so I said, oh, I'll be right down, and I just snapped the seal together and turned around. It was like under 3 seconds. I turned around and there's nobody there, and I'm just standing there like, I pretty clearly just heard somebody say hey and wave at me, and now there's absolutely nobody there. So it was kind of weird. It's, you know, not exactly the same thing that Noel saw, but it was a person in a hat, and it was just weird, and I just thought I had to call in and share that. It was too similar to be a coincidence, I think. I don't know anything about that area in Fresno. I don't know if it's haunted or what happened around there. But apparently there's a lot of activity in that area. So, yeah, I just had to share that. And also, when I called in last time about the bathroom ghost, as I call it, it tripped me out when you said that I'm probably not as sensitive. That makes me happy, actually, because I don't think I could psychologically handle that. But when you said that I probably lead a haunted life, that was just like, whoa, that's such a trip, and it's so true. I don't know. It was kind of cool the way you described that. So, anyway, it was nice talking to you guys. I mean, sorry. I love listening to you guys. Hope to hear your next episode soon. As you can tell, I'm a little weirded out still, so I'll call back with more stories. I just wanted to let you know that I'm a little tripped out right now. Love your show. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
What do you think the odds are of, you know, that the caller that she was referencing, Noelle, where he was driving down a very specific road in a very specific part of the country, and then suddenly another one of our listeners happens to be not only driving down that same road, but then listening to that very episode at that exact time. That's pretty freaky.
It is pretty freaky. And then to see something, you know, another person in a hat, a figure in a hat. I think this might be the closest we've gotten to having multiple listeners see the same entity.
Yeah, it might be. It's very, very interesting. I mean, just the timing is what gets me on it. I mean, this is an on-demand show. You can listen whenever you want. So, I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, another truck driver. We have a lot of truck driver listeners, and they're all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to be like, oh, I know that area. I've driven that area before. But to, like, be listening at that succinct time.
Right.
And playing it and going down, that's just, it's so odd.
I think she was meant to hear that episode at that time.
And that is one of those things where I think it's like, it's not necessarily a coincidence.
No.
Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing it with us. And, of course, we would love to hear more. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in and share your real ghost story with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Chris in West Virginia.
Hello, Brewskies. This is Chris from West Virginia. I'm the one who called in about, well, wrote in about the possessed Cinderella doll from Walmart. First of all, I love the show. Second of all, Tony, Kingdom Hospital is a Stephen King adaptation of, I think, a Swedish program that didn't make it as far as it did here due to deaths and everything related to the cast. Now, next are the stories I was going to call on for my sister, who works at another Walmart. She wishes to remain anonymous, but we will call her Roberta for this one. Roberta told me that there are some instances of bread literally flying off the shelf, and of course I flash to Ghostbusters, the librarian ghost, throwing books. Go me. She also told me that most of the incidents are centered around the bathroom in the electronics, back by the electronics section. She says that she herself has seen what she thought was one of the male managers in the ladies' room just standing by the door, and when she blinked her eyes, he was gone. She went up to the manager, you know, hey, what were you doing in the ladies' room? You're a guy. He's like, I wasn't. And he was with several coworkers, and they're like, no, he wasn't. We all just came up the back hallway. He was nowhere near it. She said that once when she was washing her hands, she glanced up in the mirror, and she could see a woman standing there, and when she turned around to say, you know, oh, hello, am I on your way, there was no one there. She says that the handles on the doors will shake, and that the vent, they'll be shaking the vent and everything, like the air conditioner is on, but the air conditioner is not on. She says she's not the only one who's seen this. Several other coworkers have told her about it. One lady was actually in the restroom, and as I said, whatever's there likes to jiggle the handles. But instead of jiggling her handle, it was jiggling the one next to her. And she thought, okay, maybe it's somebody, they came in with their kid and the kids are getting excited. She couldn't see any feet under the door. So she kind of, it's a good thing she was where she was, I suppose. Like I said, this was the Walmart that was built on a state hospital. You can actually go back to the back of the hospital and see the cemetery, the remains of the caretaker's house. It's actually a very beautiful area, but it's also very, very creepy. But that's all I have. Sorry I rambled. I love your show. Bye.
Beautifully creepy.
It doesn't surprise me that the bathrooms and the electronics areas are where the activity is centered, because both of which have conduits.
Sure.
The water and the power. So it's interesting, but bread literally flying off the shelves is funny.
I want to read more about the Kingdom Hospital thing now that she brought that up.
Yeah.
I have to read about this, but was she implying that, like, the British series went off the air because the cast kept dying?
I think maybe that's what she was touching on.
That's creepy.
Yeah, you should look into that.
I got to look into that. I'm always intrigued by things like that. Like, I'm intrigued by, like, The Exorcist and the what happens on the set and the curse and things of that nature.
Yes, yes.
Could be interesting to read into. Anyway, hey, if you like the show, please help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. It's only $5 a month. You sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, jam-packed with some of our best stories ever. If you want to be freaked out, check out those EPP episodes. You get access to all of them when you become an EPP. And a brand new one every single week coming to you as well. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. $5 a month is what helps keep this show a-going. So thank you in advance for doing that. All right, until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.